Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world. Today's quote is read by Star Trek Discovery actor David Ajala.
If humanity is to survive, we will have learned to take a delight in the essential differences between people and between cultures. We will learn that differences in ideas and attitudes is a delight, part of life's exciting variety, not something to fear. We are better than we think we are.
That was beautifully read by David. I wish all humanity had his accent. We'd like to welcome back Joey Clift, writer, comedian, to the podcast.
Thanks for having me back. I think this is my last episode on. I'm excited to chat about this quote.
You've been a delight, by the way. Why don't you jump in? Tell us your thoughts on this quote.
I think that, like a lot of what Gene Roddenberry says, this quote is very spot on about just the importance of like accepting and celebrating things that are different from you. Mm-hmm. Not looking at differences as fear, looking at it as like, you know, hopefully a potential to like learn about a new thing. You know, I think that there's a level of curiosity to so much of what Gene says and so much of what he's made in Star Trek that like I appreciate. And I think it really speaks to like his view on the human race in a really like optimistic and cool way. You know, I'm down. I like this quote.
So one of the things about this quote that's interesting, and Trent, I'm sure you find it interesting too, we updated some of the pronouns in here a little bit, and I think that's a great thing to do, because rather than just cancel everyone from the past who said he instead of they, if humanity is to survive, he will have learned, is what they said, right? And originally, but to modernize it to humanity or they is the right way to go. It's inclusive. Mm-hmm. It's of his times. And Gene was nothing if not inclusive. It's just man was an umbrella back then. And I'm so glad we have different language and have the ability to use different language in these days. Mm-hmm. But I love this quote. I mean, it's very in line with all the Star Trek shows. It's so in line with so many of the quotes we've already dissected. He's saying, again, take delight in these differences. We don't need to kill everything different. Let me break it down for you, for the kindergartners. You don't have to kill everything that doesn't exactly look just like you or act just like you. In fact, some of the greatest inventions have come from different schools of thought combining and coming together and creating something new. Trent?
Yeah. And this quote really reminds me of the very first quote that we started with when we did this podcast about enthusiastically welcoming the differences between us. Like, what a delight it is to see the differences in one another and to learn from one another and to grow because of those differences and sharing those ideas. Like, that is what Star Trek is, and that is what Gene really wanted to present with us with this story, with the Star Trek world.
The whole time this quote was being read, I was like, could someone tell every man I've ever dated
that's
it's
very
true,
funny
though, because like I'm an eccentric weird gal, and I know I'll find someone who appreciates an eccentric weird gal at a certain point, right? But I've met a lot of people who are like, that's weird, and they back away slowly because it's a lot. But I think, I think my ideal partner would be a guy who is different than me. Can you imagine two of me in the same room? No. Want someone to kind of balance me out or calm me down or pump me up when I need it. And I kind of see that. That's not what Gene was talking about necessarily. But I see that in here, because whether we're relating to each other as just people on the street, as humans, or a whole new species in outer space, you know, viewing it as a positive rather than it's different, kill it with a stick.
Yep.
Yeah, like, I'm just to echo what Rachel was saying, like, I don't want to date another me because, like, I already know that I like professional wrestling and cats and pretty much that's it. So it's like, I should date somebody that has a more interesting life than me so I can experience different things other than just the same pro wrestling and cats that I'm obsessed with. And
I kind of want to date a lawyer businessman.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
Just to tag on something that Rachel said about the changing of, you know, pronouns and things like that in quotes. You know, I think that it's important and it's good to be considerate. Like, for me, I'm curious, what have you changed in email greetings other than saying, hey, guys, at the start of the email? Like, what gender-neutral changes have you done to that kind of thing? I've started to use hey, y'all, or hey, party people, and, like, more hey, y'all than party people, but it's like, have y'all, like, picked a different thing?
I mean, I generally try to catch myself from saying you guys or hey, guys. It's everyone, or I will use their name. I'm just trying to get into that habit of, you know, getting away from that, the masculine, you know, denominative that we always say.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too, by the way. But it's super hard for me to drop dude. Like, that's just a universal catch-all, right? And so I have to remember that it's a masculine thing, not, you know, because growing up for me, it was just a general catch-all for dude was anyone. But I'm down with changing. You know what I mean? I just have to keep reminding myself of these things when I say them. But I say, hey, y'all, and I'm not even Southern now. Y'all. it's a good one, but it's not a big thing to do. I think it's a little hard for me when people get mad that I don't catch it, you know, like, you said dude, and I'm like, how about you just, you know, watch your tone and just explain, just tell me, and then I'll do it, no problem. You know what I'm saying, Trent, because it's tricky.
Sure.
So many things are changing right now, and if someone misses a pronoun or misses something, I would say, like a lot of Gene's quotes say, maybe lead with compassion and your humanity rather than your, I am so offended. At least right now, while we're in this period, because we're all trying to acclimate, at least most of us are, as we should, by the way.
I think it's so weird when people are angry when they are presented with a change in pronouns. Like, I just don't understand. If I said, you know, I don't like you to call me something, and someone takes offense at that, like, that just seems so odd to me. It just is so combative right off the bat. And also, Rachel, to your point, like, it's also very true that if people don't always use the right pronouns or misspeak, that they can get, you know, pushback immediate, and it's from an angry place. And I also understand that they're probably tired of correcting people and all of, like, I get all of that. But yes, compassion is a good way to start these conversations, because I think we ultimately want to communicate with one another and in a positive way, in a fruitful way. And it's, if we start from a place of compassion and at least listening and understanding, we have a better chance of doing that.
And as this quote says, it's kind of a delight, honestly, to go, oh, okay, that's who you are and what you, great. I am excited to honor you that way. Mm-hmm. You know, it may take me a second to keep remember, but, like, I'm so excited because this is what, honestly think this is the time period Gen X was waiting for, like a change, something different, something else where you could be who you were and wanted to be without, you know, feeling like shame.
Yeah.
You know, we're releasing a lot of shame right now.
I think that for me, like, you know, like I have a lot of friends where, you know, using the incorrect pronoun would bum them out. And I don't want to bum my friends out. Mm-hmm. So it's worth the, like, quarter second of extra work that it takes for me to just say the right pronoun or the more accurate pronoun, you know, like, I think, but that's just, it's just, I want to be compassionate and cool to people and not a jerk, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. I like about this quote, it says, if humanity is to survive. So it's actually putting a lot of onus on it, right? It's saying, it's not just saying thrive. It's saying survive.
Yeah.
We're going to have to engage in these things. I believe we are just entering into that now. Maybe it ties up, this is really airy fairy, but maybe it ties up with the age of Aquarius that we just entered into, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is the period where we start to become all these things that Gene hoped, wanted, saw that humanity could become.
It's definitely a hopeful thing to look forward to. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that I do feel jealous when I see things that happen in this invented future. And it would be really great to be able to visit that or to experience that. So I guess a part of me also takes hope in all the time travel that they do, because, you know, in very many different Star Trek franchises, those characters travel back to the past. So, you know, maybe they can travel back, pick me up and take me forward or something like that. So at least there's a little bit of hope that I might be able to see that, because I am of a certain age, Gen X, and I don't know that I'm actually going to make it to the transporter age.
But you know, in my mind's eye, like as a little kid always, I was very annoyed that I wasn't on a spaceship.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Like in my mind's eye, I'm either in the medieval time period or I am on a spaceship and I see the stars and there's all this white noise. So I kind of feel like I'm stuck in this in-between age. But, you know, these quotes actually give me comfort because so is Gene. So is everyone. And you can
absolutely
see, we all can be a part of what helped move things forward in a sense. Star Trek, right? I mean, it was tied up very well with our space program and all of that, but I think it did help people move forward in thought. We've talked about it on here before, all the firsts that happened on that show, imagery wise. So, you know, it's like these quotes have been really good for me to hear because it reminds me I'm not in the dullest time period of the world ever.
Yeah, I just want to say, Trent, your talk about not living to see transporters bummed me out because I was like, oh, that means I'm not going to live to see Tribbles or get to pet a Tribble. But then you said that they could come back and back from the future and grab me so I could pet a Tribble. All of a sudden filled me with hope. So thank you very much for that. And then to Rachel's point, yeah, I mean, that's like the cool thing about imagination, right? It's like with our imagination, we could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. And specifically with like Gene's imagination, we're able to see this like really cool, like equal future where differences are celebrated and where, you know, things that are different from you are seen with excitement and not fear. You know, I think that like, it is so cool that like through the power of storytelling, we're able to experience a future that we might not be able to see like the literal version of it, you know? So we can imagine, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also we haven't mentioned it much in this last round of podcasts, but you know, Star Trek was also created and put on TV during, there was a lot of strife in the country in terms of racial climate, right? And we're talking more black and white because we didn't even really talk about Native Americans then. You know, we had an, and does everyone know that the guy, the crying Native American, quote unquote, Native American guy in the commercial was an Italian actor?
Yep.
Like they didn't even use a Native actor in that litter. There was a 70s litter commercial with a single lone Indian with a tear streaming down his face. So, you know, we've come a long way since then, but we are just starting to hear about Native American issues. And that's 40 years later.
I wouldn't say that we've I get what you're talking about. I wouldn't say that those issues weren't being dealt with. It was more of a situation of like forced suppression. So like, you know, like we were still in, you know, the 60s when this came out, still in the age of boarding schools where like Native kids were like taken from their families and like taught to not speak their native language.
That was still happening in the 60s?
That was still happening in the 80s. In Canada, that was still happening in the 2000s. Like, so like, you know.
And Australia and other countries with their Aborigines as well. It's very true. But when you hear how recent that was, it's shocking, is it not?
Oh yeah, that's like, that's something that with Native stuff, I feel like I always have to explain to like, non-Natives or people that don't really know about it. It's like, I'm writing on the first ever animated show in the history of American television with a, you know, with Native American families and stuff like that, created by a Native person, et cetera. And like, it's 2021. TV's been around for almost 100 years. Deb Haaland was made the Secretary of the Interior. She's from, I think, the Laguna Pueblo Nation this year. And she's the first ever Native American person to serve in a presidential cabinet in the history of our country. Mm-hmm. And that happened in 2021. Like, you know, last year there was an NFL team named after just a straight up racial slur against natives. And that was like 2020. So like we're...
But there still are so many teams, aren't there? There's still a couple teams. And I'm like, y'all could change your goddamn name.
Oh, yeah. There's 2,000 names in the country that have kind of racist native mascots. And that's like 2021. Right. So it's like, it's not that it wasn't an issue in the 60s when Star Trek came out.
Oh, I did not mean to imply it wasn't an issue. I meant more that the general public did not perceive it as anything. Of course, it was an issue. I'm saying the average person in Idaho, where there were plenty of native tribes, by the way, but the average person, living white person, I'll just say the average Anglo person was like, what do you mean? We have a crying native on a TV commercial. There's equality. That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get what you're talking about.
The perception was, they're fine. They have reservation. They're fine. You know, like, that was the white perception.
Or it's just like,
they're not a problem.
Or it's just like, John Wayne killed all of them or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. Or something like that. So I think this quote kind of speaks to all of that, because we'll learn these differences and ideas and attitudes are a delight. I mean, I think the words are chosen, survive, delight, you know, very well.
Exciting, variety.
Yeah, very well here. Anyway, this is a pretty lovely quote to wrap this one up on, because it's actually, it's like so lovely and positive and yet with that little dire thing, if you want to survive. Oh, I didn't say thrive, y'all. I say you want to keep living or do you want to kill each other? You know,
yeah, like thriving's hard. Yep. Surviving is like a good thing to aim for on a base level.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Yeah. Let's start there.
Anyway, we just want to thank Joey Clifford for being such a lovely guest.
Such a pleasure.
When does your TV show premiere?
So we don't have a release date yet. We're looking at 2020. So it'll probably be, you know, sometime next year. But it's called Spirit Rangers. It's going to be on Netflix. It's a really cool show. I think you should check it out. And you could follow me on Twitter at JoeyTainment. Follow me on Instagram at Joey Clift, and I'll definitely promote all this stuff as it's coming out and other things I'm working on in the near future. But yeah, thanks for having me. This was real fun. I'm a big Star Trek fan, so it was definitely a delight.
We loved having you, yeah.
We did love having you, and the thing I love about your show is it just kind of warmed my heart to think, oh, there's a bunch more now Native American writers in the WGA.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
there
yeah.
There is a new maybe director on your show who got their DGA card. You know what I mean? Like, I love that this is opening up diversity. Your show, it's so in line with all these quotes that we're talking about. And it's long overdue.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of other great Native created shows coming. Rutherford Falls just came out on Peacock, and that was created by Sierra Teller Ornelas. Reservation Dogs is coming out on FX, co-created by Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi. And these are, like, in the history of TV, the first TV shows created by Native people with Native writers. And these are shows coming out in 2020, 2021, 2022, and not, like, shows that came out in the 50s. So, like, it is a really interesting renaissance in Native representation that is cool to see. And I think Gene Roddenberry would be stoked about it.
100%. Absolutely. Joey, thank you so much for spending the week with us. We really, really appreciate it. And we hope if you want to check out these videos that we of our guests reading our quotes, you can check them out on the Roddenberry social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Okay, now that this is the end for me, can you use the Star Trek Beamer sound effect to beam me out of here?
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote, so tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.